I see you.
And I see you.
We just saw Avatar. Hi, this is Patrick Hickey Jr., editor-in-chief of ReviewFix.com.
And this is Cynthia Spataro, senior movies editor for ReviewFix.com.
And this is ReviewFix at the Cinema, our Avatar edition.
Avatar.
So what do we think of Avatar?
Thumb down, one thumb down.
Yeah, another thumb down.
Absolutely. One and a half thumbs,
no,
is that possible?
No, two thumbs, yeah.
One thumb, one index, and an
yeah, okay.
Well, for those of you who haven't been bombarded with advertising for this movie, basically it's about a futuristic world where I guess Americans.
Americans.
There's nobody even an accent in this movie. I mean, is there?
Yeah.
But is there a setup for, like, the year?
Well, it said, like, during the little video blogs that he was doing, I remember at the end,
oh,
like,
I didn't
2164.
Okay, so 160 years.
Yeah, it's
now.
In a future where Americans go and invade a planet inhabited by the Blue Man Group with dreadlocks.
With dreads that make a lot of noise.
That are in touch with nature.
The one girl swoops her, like, braids constantly, yeah. And they clack. Like,
and they clack, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of distracting, like, I don't know. But,
and all the animals have, like, these, like, zip drive buttons that, like, they plug their dreadlocks.
Right, you're skipping ahead, though.
All right.
Okay, so people in a futuristic world, they go to another planet, and basically are mining this, some kind of mineral that's worth, like, $20 million an ounce or something.
Yeah, they're trying to harvest this, this rock for some unknown reason, and the person in charge of that is the infamous Giovanni Ribisi, who is arguably the worst actor known to man. He was on Friends.
Hayden Christensen.
Oh, yeah.
If they put Hayden Christensen in that role, it wouldn't be
like, they should have given that role to, like, somebody that was, like, a little bit older, like Christopher Walken or something like that. I could totally see Walken.
No, but it's somebody, like, devious. What about, like, from A Christmas Carol, what was the bad guy?
What, Jim Carrey?
No, not Jim Carrey. No, the good guy, Cratchit. Who played Cratchit? I don't remember.
What, Carrie Elves?
No, the English guy. Forget it. That was a thought.
Weird, what?
Somebody, like, really sinister. That was really sinister characters.
I've played sinister characters before. I don't know, Gary Oldman would have been kind
That's of... That's who I was thinking of. Isn't he?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Gary Oldman.
Wow.
Alright, we're on the same page. We're not on the same page.
No, we are.
We're on the
same page. Yeah. Alright.
Somebody that could, like, pull a sinister, but in like, with this funny kind of swagger to it.
And I just look at Giovanni Ribisi and I think of Friends.
I think of Boiler Room.
That was a really bad movie.
But I like it, though. But see, he could do movies that are bad, but you like, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But how about the movie where he plays a retarded guy?
He plays a retarded guy?
You never seen that with Juliette Lewis?
That explains a lot.
They're both retarded and they fall in love.
I was going to say, is Juliette Lewis retarded?
It's called The Other Sister. They're both retarded and they fall in love with each other.
He's falling in love with each other? Alright, okay.
No, that was
Alright,
that was great.
I'm sorry. Alright.
Uncalled for.
Clear channels.
That was Patrick's avatar.
My avatar. And all the what the hell are their names? Nanooks or whatever?
Alright, let's get back to the plot summary. So, they're going to mine this thing. Giovanni Ribisi is leading the team to mine this mineral, and it lays right in the heart, like, the biggest mine.
Yeah, the biggest
mine.
Deposit is underneath this tree that the indigenous people call their home, and it's like this super huge tree that's kind of like their fortress at the same time. That's like multi-layered, and they like swing up them and climb up them like Robert Pattinson in that name of that stupid vampire movie in Twilight. That's what it was like. They were like climbing up the trees
stupid.
The entire time, you know.
Just the running part was kind of silly, but like,
yeah.
It was cool.
So, yeah, they all live in the tree. So they're like Keebler elves, but like blue.
Keebler elves in a gigantic tree,
Like, with their privates and like tails and asses hanging out.
Alright, they have tails. Why?
I don't know.
Why do they have talons?
They look like blue Hellboys, but like with dreads. That's what they look
really,
like.
Really like emaciated.
Yeah, like super skinny. Yeah.
All right, so they go to do this, and a soldier who is wounded in war. They never explain how either.
Yeah, they never. As soon as the movie starts,
he's
like
paralyzed in a wheelchair.
Cryogenic slumber of sorts for like 5 years, like 9 months, 3 days, and whatever, gives a shit.
What are you, Donnie Darko?
Donnie Darko. So his brother has died, and his brother was supposedly like a PhD student and very intelligent, and was supposed to go in this avatar to learn the ways of this indigenous population. But his brother dies, his brother's bug food, by the beginning of the movie. So his brother, who is a cripple, ends up taking over the avatar without any scientific training.
See, that was totally unnecessary too. Like,
yeah.
Why not just make him be the one that was going to do the avatar project? Why did they have to have the whole subplot of the dead twin brother? Like,
I don't know, maybe because like just like fate. Because the whole entire movie, you just feel like things are happening for a reason.
It's a
huge stretch. But then like towards the end of the movie, when all these things start happening and the animals start helping and blah, like it's all fate, you know.
So, actually, now that you bring up that ending, like particular ending thing, like that's a little hard.
All right, it was like something totally out of like Return of the Jedi, like fucking Ewoks, like destroy like the Empire, and then in the beginning of the movie, they're like bow and arrows, can't like do anything. Did you notice that? The bow and arrows weren't doing anything. Like the guy that like the general who was like something out of like a Street Fighter movie or something like that, and he's got like scars on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's laughing when the arrows are like hitting the
yeah.
But then towards the end of the movie, the bow and arrows are going through the glass, so like kicking
yeah.
the shit out of like everything. So yeah. Logic gap, absolutely.
And okay, wait, alright, so going back, so what do we have?
Yeah,
brother, the Avatar Project. Sigourney Weaver's like a leader of the Avatar Project. She's like a scientist.
Yeah,
and
her avatar was many years old.
Her avatar, but it looks like her.
It did.
But it's in a freaky way.
Yeah, like blue boobs. And
did you notice the most like realistic thing about the avatars were their teeth? You notice that? What did you find like was the most real looking, like relatable part to the person?
I thought the eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like their mouths were so real looking. Kind of bugged me out.
Okay.
Because their bodies weren't. Like there was something like surreal about the bodies and the movements, but like the mouth and the teeth were really real.
Yeah, they were built like runway models. Like really tall and skinny.
With like no genitalia.
Yeah, well,
there was
I don't
no
know how you know that.
Because
but, yeah.
there was no room underneath that loincloth.
I know, and like, yeah, I don't know. So you notice like, I don't know, I think like Sigourney Weaver's character in that movie had like a breast fetish because she had like the biggest breasts out of all
yeah.
the other avatars, which is
yeah.
really funny. So she had to stand out, I guess, a little bit.
Well, there's, alright, so there's an avatar project and what they're doing is trying to penetrate the indigenous people.
Yeah.
Using your person, you hook up, like, through your brain connects to this body.
It's kind of like a remote control
yeah.
person.
And you, like, live as them, and so, what is his name? The army guy, the main character.
Sergeant Mike Bumbaclot or something.
I can't remember.
What was his name? It's not important.
Yeah.
Everything that happens.
Everybody's name in this is not memorable
yeah.
at all. Like, the name of the indigenous tribe, can't remember it.
Can't remember anything.
Something with an O.
Can't remember the name of, like, any of the animals.
They didn't make it very memorable. Like, they
just
made it really hard to understand.
Sully. That was the name of the
Sully.
Character.
Okay.
There you go.
So he gets in and he's told by this really threatening captain that he's going to be feeding them a lot of information.
I'll give you the legs back.
Yeah, like, yeah, at first I was like, alright, this could be, like, a really cool
yeah,
character.
Kind of badass.
He's
yeah.
badass, but then they just took it so over the top.
Yeah.
It was like, he might as well have been wearing a shirt saying, like,
yeah.
Captain Boot Camp or something. Captain Kick-Ass. You know? Like, it was just so literal. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was, like, something out of, like, an 80s, like cartoon.
you know, like G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You know.
Complete with, like, scars.
Yeah, and he wouldn't die. This guy, like, wouldn't fucking die. Everyone else was dying.
All right, are we going to talk about, like, the ending and stuff, or is that, we don't want people to...
You know what? If it was any other movie, I would say, who cares, but it's... If we want to blow the ending, why not? Let's just go for it.
Well, you know, at the end, Captain Kick-Ass and Star Wars. All right. Going back to the plot, though, like, the whole thing is, you know, he's penetrating his indigenous tribe who, like, one with nature, and then he's supposed to go and report back so they can destroy the whole forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you think he's going to do?
He falls in love.
And he, like, understands their ways. Like,
he learns their language.
You can tell that from the trailer.
You know what this reminded me of in so many ways?
Ferngully?
Besides Ferngully, like, a more expensive version of, like, Enemy Mine.
I've never seen that.
It's like the same exact situation, like Dennis Quaid gets like stranded on a planet with Louis Gossett Jr., who's like an alien, and then he learns the language, and then like Louis Gossett Jr. has a baby, because like in this alien species, the men have the babies, and then he dies, so he has to take care of the baby, and then at the end, Dennis Quaid ends up like fighting against the humans to save the giraffe, you know? So it was just like... We've seen this story has been, like, done before, obviously, in Ferngully, in Enemy Mine. Jane Fonda did this story in real life, you know? So it's like people, like, betray, like, their planet or, like, their people and stuff like that for what they perceive to be a greater good. So, I mean, it's a tale that's been told countless times.
Countless times. And especially Ferngully.
Yeah.
If for all of you don't know, it's like, a cartoon from, I think, Don Bluth, and it's, like...
Yeah.
Is it from the late 80s? Or it's like late 80s, early 90s.
It's like 89 or something.
When, you know, Earth Day was really popular, and, like, Save the Rainforest stuff is really popular, and...
Captain Planet.
Yeah, and I understand, like, green has come back in, but, like, I mean, yeah, saving the forest, this is, like, old news.
And there's definitely, like, elements of that, like, that greenism.
Yeah.
Because Sully says at certain times, we need to save this planet because these people, the sky people, meaning the earth people, Americans, whatever you want to call them, have killed their own planet before. So, you definitely have elements of activism going on there.
What's that other, Wally, same thing.
Well, Wally was cute.
Right, I know, but I'm saying, same theme, like, people destroy the Earth, they have to go to another planet, like, which is fine if you can do something different with it, but the whole thing is, like, the whole story, why?
To make money.
Yeah, but what were they thinking when they wrote, like, there's no connection for people to these characters, because we've never seen them before.
They wanted to make money.
But
just like Giovanni Ribisi's character, the whole purpose of the whole entire thing is to make money.
Right, but you don't hate Giovanni Ribisi's character enough to, like, want to see him go down at the end.
That's the huge problem with the story.
Don't make him the evil...
No character is, like,
Captain Kick-Ass.
Hate it or love. Yeah, Captain Kick-Ass, like, I don't know.
Because he's watching the forest burn, he's like,
we can go eat dinner now and eat steak and eggs and...
And everyone else is like, and then it cuts to, like, the control room, and everyone's, like, appalled.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie was, like, kind of like a bipolar woman on, like, the 28th day of the month. Like, it was just,
Don't
know how to feel.
There's no surprises in this movie. If you're surprised by this movie, you've never seen any movie.
The only time I was surprised was with, like, the Blue Man Group sex scene. That was pretty surprising.
You knew they were going to go there. Like,
I know they were going to go there, but I didn't expect it. Like, I don't know.
They didn't show anything.
I know. I was kind of expecting that, though, a little bit. Like a Team America... Nookie scene or something.
I think he, like, backed it up a little so it wouldn't be so ridiculous that people would start laughing.
Yeah.
Like, in The Watchmen with the naked blue.
Oh, that was, like, the coolest scene, like, ever. I have a funny story about that. I think I told you the story before. I saw The Watchmen in the theaters, and during that sex scene, there was, like, a guy that was, like, in his 30s, and a little kid, this had to be his daughter, like, 10 years old, and she ended up covering her father's eyes during that scene, because it was so out there that, like, the daughter knew that she shouldn't, like, be watching it.
That's pretty funny.
But, yeah, in Avatar, guys, don't worry, there was nothing there's nothing that bad. And I mean, going back to what you were saying before, there's no emotional connection with any of the characters. Like, you can't really put yourself in those shoes. Michelle Rodriguez is supposed to be, like, kind of, like, this, like, tough, badass bitch, like, and you're kind of like, why is she helping them?
Like, but there's no, like, memorable lines or...
But I see you.
I see you. I see you. The two characters say that, and it's just... It's borderline, like, bad, corny, but... just not memorable enough to be, like, you know, that corny, so...
I think a lot of it had to do with the cast, too. Like, the guy that played, like, the other Avatar, he was in Grandma's Boy, and, like...
Dodgeball, man.
He was in Dodgeball, too. But in Grandma's Boy, he's such an ass clown in that movie. Like,
yeah.
I cannot take him seriously in this movie.
Yeah, he's like, a silly character in Dodgeball. They're all silly characters in Dodgeball, like... But this is, okay, other big point with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's three Avatars, Captain Sully, the main character.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the ass clown guy.
And George, I think his name is.
George, yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just make a scene? Now, this would have shocked me if they would have made, like, a slew of army avatars at the end to, like, kick, you know, kick the people's ass.
Like, something. Avatar versus Avatar.
Yeah, like, they didn't do anything like that. There's nothing, like, surprising or shocking. And why only three people? Why?
And see, what you just said, you brought up a great point. Remember the part where Sully first, like, gets comfortable with his Avatar costume, and he runs out? There's a lot of Avatars there. Did you notice that? They're playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
How come we don't see them later in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, fuck that.
They just cut to... And basically, after that, you just see the three Avatars. You don't see...
There's, like, 20 of them that they show at that scene. So it's like...
And there's no setup to, like, show them, you know, going through, like, a psychological thing, like, trying to connect to this body that they're, like, in. And there's nothing like that. It's just...
Well, I mean, there is that.
He gets his body, and he's in it, and that's it.
Like, they do show Sully, like,
in the dirt,
getting comfortable,
like,
and, like, learning the language. That's probably, for me, that was the most enjoyable part of the movie. Like,
when he's in training.
When he's, like, in training, and, like, he's getting close with... whatever the hell her name is, and, you know, that's probably, like, the coolest part of the movie for me. But, you were saying before that, it reminded me of Ferngully. I don't know, to me, it's like, there were so many things that I felt were stolen from other properties. Like, the whole Avatar thing, and, like, being something that you're not, and then, like, totally embracing that... is very Battlestar Galactica-esque. It's kind of like, are you a robot? Are you a Cylon? Are you a human? Are you an Avatar? Are you a human? Kind of thing. So that was like, for me, that was basically totally stolen out of Battlestar Galactica. Then at the same time, the whole machinery and all those things were totally stolen. Like
aliens?
Aliens.
There's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver's in it. Come on, that's definitely like it.
And like,
it could be a tribute though. That could be.
There's a lot of like homage to a lot of things, and like the same thing. A lot of the ships, like a lot of the spaceship scenes, totally felt like they were out of like Battlestar Galactica. What else? And like I was telling you before, the machinery, a lot of the flying the airplanes reminded me of the video game Warhawk. There's a lot of video game things in there. The dragons in there are totally stolen, like, totally stolen from Panzer Dragoon, which is, like, arguably one of the best games Sega has ever made in the past, like, 15 years.
The dragons almost look like, they look like half ducks. Wait, what was it? It was, like, some waterfowl.
Yeah.
It was, like, some waterfowl crossed with a dragon.
Yeah. And
did you notice that, though?
Hammerhead sharks and rhinos. Like, did you notice that?
Yeah, what they did was, like, cross different animals to meet these creatures.
Yeah, that all had zip drives that, like, you plug in your dreadlock to.
Alright, so let's explain that.
You want to...
All the Avatar guys have really long braids. To me, they were trying to cross, like, a Native American with... maybe, like, a Pacific Islander or something. I don't know. Something like that. Like, different indigenous people all rolled into one.
Yeah.
And they have these really long, like, braids. And they take the braid and they connect it with, like, tree branches and, like, other things. And then they can, like, connect their spirits and then they're one.
Yeah.
I think you did a great job. But what is it? See, that's when I was like, at first I got kind of got confused because I thought they were doing it with their tails.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense because then it would have been like, okay, that's why they have tails.
Yeah.
But hair?
Yeah, I don't know why they have
hair
tails.
Is, this is the other thing. Like, hair is dead. Hair is a dead part of your body.
It's not
alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think James Cameron was under the influence during several of these scenes. Like common sense, just his common sense isn't prevalent throughout the movie. You know?
No, there's a lot of, like, disconnect. It's just not, like, a fully...
It's not fleshed out, polished. Absolutely not. It's like during the movie, in the beginning of the movie, when he first starts, when he first gets settled on Pandora, a lot of the animals are like out for his blood, and then at the end of the movie, all the animals band together and they help the indigenous people like overtake the sky people. And it's like these animals were just trying to like kick your ass like 2 hours ago, and now all of a sudden like the earth
for no reason,
you know,
decide to help. To help the indigenous people. And it got really hokey. Like, I can buy people that are, like, connected to the earth and spiritual and all that, but what I can't buy is, like, the end with the tree of life, and they could, like, take people's souls and put them on the bodies.
Take
and
your soul. Put
it in your body. I mean, come on. Like, that's... No indigenous tribe or... That's just going beyond, like, any spiritual beliefs of people, like, that a tree is going to... I don't know. I just thought that was, like, a huge stretch into, like, magical.
Yeah, it's like an epic fail.
Rather than spiritual, that became, like, a magical thing.
No, absolutely. And then, I mean, the whole thing is, like, a lot of the scientific things you can kind of believe if you're a fan of, like, the genre, like, sci-fi kind of things. Like, the whole plugging in your brain waves to, like, another body. And I think they did a good job of that. Like, in the beginning, like, you totally believe that it's possible that you can go from one body to the other. Like, they do a good job of it. And I felt like the way they use the technology and, like, the x-rays and brain waves and they, like, pulled them off, that was pretty cool. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole exorcism with, like, Shaka Zulu, like, meets Blue Man Group, like, indigenous people wasn't, like, flying.
Well, maybe that's exactly what you're pinpointing. Like, there's science fiction, then there's mysticism, and then there's spiritualism, and there's fantasy.
Yeah.
There's too much, like, going on. Like, it's too crossing, you know,
genres. The same way that the film never really establishes itself in a genre is the same way that the actors never really establish themselves emotionally, and you don't know which way to go as far as, like, what you should feel for the characters.
Yeah. And well, let's talk about the look of it. Like, I mean...
I think it was pretty. I think it was a great-looking movie. They spent enough money on it. I mean, I think that was the best thing going for it. I thought, the 3D was a lot of cool. It was a lot of fun.
Did you really think the 3D was, like, necessary, though? I mean...
I don't think it was necessary.
I don't think it was necessary at all.
They didn't highlight it enough, you know?
It really didn't... What scene to you really was like, wow, this is blowing my mind, a 3D scene?
Never. I don't think there was one scene. Possibly the scene where he had, like, his arms out and the little thingamabobbies were flying on him for, like, 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's cool.
But it was never anything like... I remember...
I don't think it warrants a 2 or 3 extra dollars that it costs.
Yeah, no, no way.
Perfect
example. Another recent 3D movie, Christmas Carol. When the snow was falling, that was a pretty damn good usage of 3D. And then, like, when he's flying all over the place during, like, you know...
But when you watch that, you feel like I'm watching a 3D movie.
Yes, exactly.
This is a 3D movie.
This never happened.
This was, like, a movie with just a couple scenes in 3D. You know, it was, like, that don't really bring it over the top to make it, like, a 3D movie. I think maybe IMAX would enhance the look of it.
Yeah.
But... The 3D is extraneous.
And the same thing, too, as far as, like, the look and, like, the 3D being too much. As far as, like, the score, the music never really, like, plays a part in, like...
It's funny that you bring up the score, because I didn't even really take notice of the score.
Because think about Cameron. Cameron's, whole thing is having a good score to be, like, kind of like a catalyst between events. Terminator, excellent score to, like, kind of, like, take
Titanic.
You from the best event. Titanic, you know?
Yeah.
What else? What else has he done besides Terminator and Titanic? But I mean, just those films in general, three of his most important films all had
Aliens.
Aliens, yeah, good score. You know? Not amazing, but like good enough, and like it's
like
memorable
like,
and played a role. Mm-hmm. This did nothing. So.
Yeah. Do you think he has a fetish
for Yeah, he does. So.
She actually was, you know what? She didn't bother me. She bothered me the least out of, like, nobody really bothered me, but she actually fit in.
I liked her wit.
Yeah, she was good.
She's a little bit of a wise ass.
But she's like a seasoned actress,
yeah.
And the rest of this cast are like either newbies or just not good. Like,
yeah.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Who else was in? And
who is the colonel? Was he in it?
I think I've seen him in other things, but I don't know. I can't call offhand anything.
Michelle Rodriguez, borderline crappy.
Yeah. I mean, he's just cute. She's like
the other guy. Why even choose these guys? Like, I'm puzzled.
That's
why this cast was like.
Possibly, maybe because it cost so much money for the movie to get made that they went like cookie cutter. I mean, it's kind of like you're trying to like throw a party and you buy really expensive wine. So like, where are you gonna get your hors d'oeuvres? You know, you're gonna go to like Pathmark and get like the no frills stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
But you can't put, you know, Dom Perignon with a mini hot dog.
That's kind of like what they did here.
You gotta at least elevate it to like.
It was like really expensive like crackers and then like Walgreens like mozzarella cheese like chopped up. That's like what they tried to do in this movie. You know?
They should have just shown the effects with no, like, just made it in IMAX like under the screen.
Yeah. Oh my god. That was one thing I wanted to say too. There were like certain moments during the movie where I felt like when they were like running around that they were actually like underwater.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
But Cameron, did you see Cameron's after Titanic? He did like a documentary about the Titanic, mm-hmm. and he's like obsessed with the Titanic and underwater and shooting like underwater scenes.
Yeah, the colors were beautiful, and it felt like there were times when you were indeed like underwater.
It's like cinematography just highlight that.
Yeah.
Everything else, you could just throw in the garbage, really.
I don't know. Like overall, I felt like the movie was like a great looking woman that like you see from like across the room and then you walk over and you say hi and she goes durr.
Like, she has a voice like Jennifer Tilly.
Like, Yeah. Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, and again, too, I wanted to say as well, the look of the film, if anyone that's listening is like a video gamer, the lighting, the cinematography, a lot of the shots, the facial shots, it reminded me a lot of Mass Effect. And just like the way the characters walked around, the way like the token like cliche and things like that. I'm telling you, we're going to find out like eventually that like James Cameron was like smoking a lot of pot and playing like a lot of Xbox 360.
Well, do you think that's who he was trying to appeal to?
Possibly. I mean,
video gamers. I mean,
Avatar.
He's trying to appeal to like that age group that's into playing video games, into like sci-fi and Avatar and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it totally felt like somebody like played a lot of like Halo 3 and like Mass Effect, like the whole jungle scenes, like at the beginning of Halo 3. So maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, but it felt like that when I was watching the movie. The first thing, like when you first go into the jungle and you see Sully jump out of the helicopter, it reminds me of like the first like 5 minutes of Halo 3. And it's like, it was way, like that's the first thing that came into my head. It wasn't even like after the movie was over. I thought that it's like as soon as it happened, I was like, this is like an homage of like Halo 3. Or Cameron saw his kid playing it and was like, oh, let me put this in a movie.
I think Cameron, like this whole source material thing, like if these characters showed up in a book or a comic book or like some source material that people would be able to like connect more.
Yeah.
Instead of the story, it comes out of nowhere, but like with these like really established like, you know, world and people that he's trying to create, but there's no backstory for the audience. There's no, it's like you're just that would be like if Lord of the Rings, granted Lord of the Rings doesn't compare like with characters and story or anything.
Yeah.
But say Lord of the Rings just appeared in the movies, like people would kind of be like, where did this story come from?
Yeah.
I mean, there's that whole missing source material thing that just leaves this movie like You're not going to have that fan base.
Yeah, it just starts too abruptly, it ends too abruptly. Like, the development isn't there in key areas. You never feel an emotional connection to any of the characters. You don't feel, like, the plight of, like, these people.
Except Captain Kick-Ass. They should make
t-shirts. They should make a Captain Kick-Ass movie.
They should make Avatar t-shirts with a picture of Captain Kick-Ass. I'm, like, naming him. That's not his name, by the way, in the movie. I don't know what his name, but he's the captain.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just like dubbed him Captain Kick-Ass.
Because he's like so in his.
He has like this huge scar on his, like, he looks like Guile from like Street Fighter.
Guile,
like,
okay.
Big scar on his face.
Guile from Street Fighter.
They should have got Van Damme to play him, you know? Like Van Damme, you know, with the Belgian accent and the smirk. I give you a next back. You know, like kind of thing, you know? Oh my God. They could have like some 80s like power ballad montage, like while he's like beating the hell out of like Sully. That would have been good.
It wouldn't have been that hard to make this movie god awful.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's not horrible, but I think it's slightly worse than mediocre. Like on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd probably give like a 4.75.
See, but I wouldn't tell somebody like don't go to see it.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's like it's an event movie.
Yeah.
It's an event.
Yeah, with like 4 or 5 friends just going, having a good time, and it's like the biggest movie out right now. So I mean, there's really like nothing else to see until Sherlock Holmes comes out and like some of the other like supposed big blockbusters, you know?
Yeah. But it definitely doesn't live up to changing the landscape.
Oh yeah. No way.
I mean, the effects, you know, people are tired of, you can't just rely, the whole movie can't just rely on effects. It just doesn't happen anymore. Like, we're not wowed by special effects. Like, you have to really bring some level of a story that we're going to connect with.
I think in the end, this film will be remembered more for like its advertising campaign, how much money it costs, and Captain Kick-Ass.
And Captain Kick-Ass.
So, and that really cheesy.
And Captain, well, all right, the end fight scene with Captain Kick-Ass and Sully.
It felt like
his name is Sully. Like the guy that landed the plane in.
Yeah. Yeah, like the guy that landed.
Captain Sully
Kick-Ass.
Sully
is a corporal. Yeah.
Sully's a corporal, and he's the one that's crippled, the main
Sully
character.
Yeah.
And is it Jay?
I think so.
And Captain Kick-Ass is in the metal suit that Sigourney Weaver is in Aliens.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like, dead friggin' cop.
That last fight scene reminded me of, like, something out of, like, RoboCop or something like that. Like, it was so bad.
It's atrocious. Like, she all of a sudden can't hit the arrow, like, into a huge area that it's heading in.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, like, hitting everything with, like, perfect accuracy. And she teaches Sully how to shoot the arrow, and now all of a sudden she's missing, like, every major artery, so it takes, like, 3 shots to, like, put Captain Kick-Ass down.
So it's like the boss fight at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You're absolutely right. And it, again,
it's like the end of the level. You gotta fight Bowser.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we want to say about Avatar?
It was fun, but, you know, out of 10, you give it a 4.5.
Really. Like a 4.75, yeah. Not quite a 5.
I give it a 5.5.
Okay.
Just for production value, and it's entertaining. It kept me in the seat. I wasn't, like, dying to walk out of the theater.
Yeah, and people were clapping at the end of this movie. I don't know, I think
it didn't deserve applause, that's for sure. So it wasn't god awful.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't god awful, but I don't know. I think I had more fun seeing Ninja Assassin than this.
Really?
Just because Ninja Assassin was so bad that it made it good.
Right, right.
You know, and this was like.
This wasn't laughably bad.
No, that's the thing. Like, it goes back to what we were saying before. You're never like, you're so stuck in between. You know? And you can't force yourself to love it. Anyone that loved this movie, I'm sorry, is an idiot. And anyone that hated this movie isn't, like, being fair.
Well, if you love the movie, I can see you loving the movie because you are just, like, a special effects nerd, and you're just, like, obsessed with special effects, and that's all you care about. But, like, as a film goer, you want to see a story, and there's not enough of it.
Yeah, there's not enough of a story.
How about this? You're an idiot if you're surprised by anything in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing that will surprise you here.
Even, like, the whole love thing was handled wrong. Because, like, there's another, like, you know, indigenous dude that's, like, supposed to, like, marry her. And, like, they don't really, like, the guy just totally, like, accepts that, like, Sully's, like, banging his chick. You know, like, he, like, there's, like, really...
No,
like,
there was a fight. They fight.
It was a pitiful fight. It was like, 5 seconds. It was, like, I don't know, man. If I was, like, predestined to, like, be with a woman, and then some guy came out of nowhere that isn't even, like, a real guy. He's, like, a robot.
They know he's not, like, a real tribe member. Like, he speaks English. He doesn't even speak the language.
Yeah.
It's almost like it is a metaphor for, like, Americans and Native Americans. Like, immigrants coming in and you know, fighting the Native American tribe. Like, very much like...
Mm-hmm. And they make mention a couple of times, like, oh, they're just bombing everything. It's, like, total just, like, shock and awe. Like, oh, wow. Really subtle there. Like,
shock and awe. And there was a couple of comments like that. There was another one, too, that was, like, a direct reference.
Yeah. Leave him alone. Pick on Captain
Dickhead. That's old news.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
it's entirely too long.
We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, it's three. How long is that?
It's really? 2 hours and 40 minutes. Yeah.
And it really could be 2 hours. Like,
it could have easily been 2 hours. This isn't like a movie like I mentioned The Watchmen before. The Watchmen is a movie that could have easily been like 4 or 5 hours. And a lot of people complain that it was 3, but like this is a movie that could have easily been 120 minutes, and instead it's close to 3 hours.
Yeah, the length, like, really, if it was 2 hours, it would have changed the whole length, like the whole story and the whole effect of the movie. Like, it probably would have felt like Snap, you know, it would have felt like really tight and...
There wasn't, like, a really, like, solid flow.
Yeah.
And the segues kind of felt a little off from time to time. I don't know. That's kind of, for me, anyway, I think that's very uncharacteristic of a typical Cameron film. Because they usually, like, pace pretty well. And they usually flow, like, because Titanic is kind of long, but it flowed well enough.
The setup for his movies tend to be so...
Like, drawn out?
I think the setup for this movie was just... The setup was long, but then it didn't really tell me much.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the problem, too. Like, it's not jam-packed wall-to-wall 3 hours of, like, action. Not at all. If you're expecting that, no.
Yeah.
But, like, if it was 2 hours, the effects would have moved the story, you know. There was enough there to work with, and if they tightened it up a little more, it could have been a totally different movie.
Cameron doesn't do this, so basically... It's a drawn out 3 hours. It's not painful 3 hours, but it's drawn out. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean,
I see you.
I see you too. it's just like in the end, all the marketing can't save the fact that there's just not enough story. There's not enough intrigue with the characters, and even though, like, the landscapes are beautiful and the cinematography is well thought out and it's good looking, there's just not enough, like, mainstream appeal and connection and polish to really make this movie something that's worth watching. Like, I believe anyone that saw this, that sees this in the theater, wouldn't really want to watch it on DVD, because there's just no...
Unless you have a 60-inch screen and some Blu-ray and surround sound. I mean, the whole point of that movie is the way that it looks, so...
Yeah.
If you don't see it in theaters, on television, it's just not gonna... I could not picture sitting there and watching that.
I don't think I ever want to watch that movie ever again.
No, I don't. No, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, is there anything else that you want to say besides the fact that you see me?
Well, it's probably gonna make a shitload of money. I can say that.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because people like good-looking movies.
Yeah.
And this is a great-looking movie.
But I just hope it doesn't set the trend to movies being made with, like, little to no story. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so...
Blue Guys, check it out.
Yeah, I think the Blue Man Group would, like, really like this movie.
The Blue Man Group or Fern Gully crossed into James Cameron smoking pot.
I'm playing video games. There you go. All right, so Patrick Hickey Jr., editor-in-chief of ViewFix.com.
I see you.
And Cynthia Spataro, senior movies editor.
reviewfix.com. I see you too. Signing off.
Peace.